Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, the letter to the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's give thanks for these words and all of God's word that we are to live by, even every word, and pray that all of the church will live by every word, that it will soon be made one in believing the word and practicing the word, that the prayer of the Lord Jesus will be answered, that they might be one as he and the Father are one, that the world will know that the Father has sent Christ. Our Father, we give thanks for thy giving Christ, and now we come in his name, not only giving thanks, but also asking for what is needed, that we might have that which is given through and because of Christ, eternal life for ourselves by faith, and also that which we can then make known to others, even as the church at Philippi, who were to work out their salvation after thou didst work it in them for thy good pleasure, for thy glory, placing them there in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And Father, many of us are in such nations today, our nation waxing worse and worse, more and more wicked, many nations in the terribleness of awful wars, wars from lies, wars, Father, that are not to protect anyone itself except the awfulness of having sometimes not only to protect themselves but to flee. And we pray, Father, for those especially that have fled their nation and are traveling from one nation to another and suffering the terrible ways of it. If it is thy judgment upon them, help them to understand it, and us as well. Help us to know that all of us deserve such judgment. We think of Judah long ago, driven out of their land, many dying in the land and others taken out of the land, captivity for those 70 years. And Father, we know that they are again in danger with the wickedness that is there in that nation as well as our own. And we pray that all of us might come to see it, to know it, and to repent, to even do as thou hast said to five of these seven churches, to repent, or else they would suffer the warnings being fulfilled what thou dost give to them. And we pray, Father, that as we read this church, one of the few that was not called to repent, that we might more and more become like it, that we might have reviving, that we may know that we are not like it today. And Father, the church in our nation has become a salt that has lost its savor, that we are having our influence from the news media and from schools and teaching lies and awfulness of it, a government that promises many things but does other things and wrong things and passes wrong laws. And we pray that thou wilt open their eyes to these things, that they might want laws of righteousness rather than of wickedness, the wickedness of permitting the killing of the unborn, the wickedness of wrong marriages, the wickedness of easy divorce, and the wickedness of other things, Father, that more and more are coming to light and coming to fruition and coming to be activated. And we pray that thou wilt stop us and turn us and bring us back to thyself through Christ in repentance and then in faith, and then a faith that worketh by love, and that we might have once again the obedience of faith and bring forth fruit to thy glory, 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit also, Father, for the benefit of those in need, that we might love our neighbors ourselves. We pray that thou wilt give us these things first, making us to seek thy kingdom, and not seek it just for ourselves, but for thee, for others, and that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that we may not be so foolish and selfish as to have our will, which is wrong. We pray, Father, also for the temple things. We give thanks for what we have in nature that are totally out of our control, that we have them and others do not have them, others having flood, drought, wind, fire, earthquakes. We pray, Father, for them where they are suffering, the homeless. We pray for the hungry where there is famine. We pray again for those in war-torn lands and the awfulness of it, the sorrow, the fear, the injury. all of that, Father, in those places. And we pray especially for those that are in wickedness and pride, their terrible lies that they are believing and bringing desecration and destruction on others. And Father, some of it often in thy name, help them to see the blasphemy of it, the wickedness of it, the error of it, the lies. And Father, as thou hast said, that all liars shall go in the lake of fire. Help them to learn it and help the church to rightly preach repentance and remission of sins. We pray, Father, for those that need thy healing hand in the body. We pray for those that are in troubled homes, the children especially. Pray that homes might be healed. We pray for those, Father, suffering, fear, old age, all these calamities that are there. We pray that we might rightly understand them and that we may know, Father, thankfully, that thou art in control of all of them through and because of Christ, that they might have blessing. Amen. As we look again at another church, last week we saw the message to the church at Ephesus, the week before as well, and I would just mention once again that very strong statement, the fourth verse of that second chapter, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." As we saw some of it last week, one of the first things we experience is salvation. We experience repentance, coming to salvation. We experience faith in receiving salvation, and then through the Father's work and through the Holy Spirit's work, and all because of Christ, we have that great blessing in grace. And we know it. And we can be humble before God and thankful to God, and then begin to return love to God for what He has given. And that love should be for justification first. That is what takes place. That is what took place in the life of the publican that the Lord Jesus described and compared with the Pharisee. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The one praying that he was thankful that he was not as other men, and the other smote upon his breast, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Have you ever stood before God like that? Not just saying the same words, but like that? Did you go to your house justified? You will. If you pray it in a need, in sincerity, in honesty, in fullness, confessing your sins as they are, as God says they are. He gives full description of them. None that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then describing those sins as Paul knew them, "I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." And as Paul gives them in Romans chapter 3, "Their mouth is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps under their lips." That's describing us. And that's what we need to come to God with and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." One of the last sins he mentions there in Romans 3 is, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's where we are as a nation. And all of us, more or less, with the rest of the nation. If we had more fear, we would be more like Paul, knowing the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. Are you persuading men? Come away from the fire that's coming. Everyone that doesn't believe, it's alive today, will be in the fire before too many years. The fire of hell. They will. And if you are an unbeliever, you will. Don't be a mocker. I read either this week or last week about someone writing in the paper not paying attention to those ancient writings. Who are they from? What did we read? "These things saith the first and the last." The ancient writings written about creation, which took place 6,000 years ago, written sometime later than that by Moses. Yes, they may be ancient, but they're up to date. Exactly. So that God can say from them, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Yes, he is the first and the last. He was there from the foundation of the world with the Father. He was there at creation when God said, let us make man. And later, Paul wrote, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. Spoken to us 2,000 years ago when Christ was here on earth. And then speaking of what happened 4,000 years before that, 6,000 years from now, when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created the world, said, let there be light, and there was light. Then spoke every day for 6 days. Each thing he spoke, it could be said, and it was so, and it was good. He spoke it, it was done, it was so. Immediately. People want to talk as if it all is billions of years old. How far into those billions did we have 12 hours of darkness and 12 hours of light? How far into those billions did we have seed time and harvest? How far into those billions did we have summer and winter? Spring and fall. How far into those billions did we have a new moon every 29 days and the sun coming up every 24 hours? Or were we seeing it that way? Just think of it. The foolishness, the wickedness of the lie, of their theories. Theories that people want to call facts and act as if they are facts. Listen to the first and the last, and he will be the last for you. He will have the last word when he says, if you don't repent, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Either that, or God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Which will it be? Will you acknowledge your iniquity? And ask him to give you faith, to believe that Christ died for it. By his stripes we can be healed. Or will you finally come to believe it? When he said, and I repeat the words, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Sometimes we want to smooth things out and things aren't really as they are. We just take God's love as if it just sort of covers everything without touching anything, without changing anything. Someone said recently, in regard to some sinful ways, just read 1 Corinthians 13. Read it 12 times. What is one of the things that we read? Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love doesn't rejoice in that which is filthy, that which is wrong. It bears with it. It prays for it. It tries to deal with it in patience and humbleness. But it doesn't acknowledge it. Love beareth all things, but it does not rejoice in iniquity. Like so many people are doing. Say, I'll have my way. I'd rather have my way and die. Rejoice in it. But only for a very short time in comparison with eternity. Because the one who spoke here to this church is also speaking to us through it. Remember what we read. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Plural. If you have an ear to hear the word of God, listen to what he says to all seven of those, and then the rest of the churches beside. Not just to the churches in Asia, the churches in Greece, the church in Corinth, the church at Philippi, the church at Jerusalem, the church at Rome, letters to all those churches, Thessalonica. Listen to what the Spirit saith to the churches. Yes, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit who takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. He is there, first and the last. In one way, he writes to all the churches as the only one that is the head of the church, but in different words describing himself. The first church was, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And now this second church, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He was dead. They said, let him be crucified. And we can read over and over, sadly, in the Gospels, and there they crucified him. They put him to death. It was by their wicked hands. But as Peter said and recorded in Acts chapter 2, it was also by the determinate counsel of God. I already quoted from Isaiah 53. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. Further in that chapter, he made his grave with the wicked. And still further, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He will accomplish in his death what he set out to do. I give my life for my sheep. Paul could write to the Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ gained the victory over sin, over death, over hell. For everyone that will believe the need of that death for themselves, for yourself, for myself. As I mentioned last week, when I told a man that someone had to die for me so I could go to heaven, and he didn't understand that the first thought, and then said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but it is true. And as I said last week, and said to him, it is the gospel. And the gospel means good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone else will perish. Everyone. Doesn't make any difference who they are, what nation, what belief you might have, if it's not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, perish. If the gospel is preached to you and you don't believe it, Christ said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Your sin, my sin, deserves damnation. And don't think of him hard to say those words, because he died so we won't be damned. If we but believe the need of him, if we do as he said, except to eat of my body, drink of my blood, you have no life in you. All from him who is the first begotten from the dead, the last. He will come back when this earth knows no more the things as we have them. All things will come to an end. The heavens being on fire, Peter writes, the earth and all things will be destroyed. We may not understand it all, but we better believe it, because it's true. And it doesn't depend on our understanding. Thankfully, he can do like he did with the apostles on the day of resurrection. Open their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he can do that with you and me. That's part of the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is in a way giving us understanding to see the kingdom of God that we thought up to that time foolishness. As Paul said to the Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, they are foolishness to him. And the gospel itself, Christ's death, what he's speaking of here, he died, he was dead, and is alive. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolish. It's all our fault. God did right. God loved. God created. God sent His Son. Everything was right. Everything was good. Everything was needed that He did. Don't go counter to it. Don't rebel at it. Don't be too proud to think you know better. Many do. God said already 1900 years ago it would happen. Perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. That's where we are. Proud. Paul writes in another letter, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's where we are, darkened. We don't even know how to run a nation that's so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. Blessed with abundance. All things we have. I've traveled to India a number of times, and it was hard to find water, clean. You couldn't. You had to buy it in a bottle. And even then, it wasn't even pure. Here we can drink water coming right out of the ground. Wonderful. We can get oil. We can get gas. We have gold. We have silver. We have all these things. Food in abundance. More than we need. And then all we want to do is be wicked. Kill our babies because we don't want them. We want to be foolish and immoral. We want to be proud and hard-hearted. We want to vote for murderers in government so we can have our way. All because we don't believe in Him who is the first and the last, who was dead and is alive, sitting on the right hand of the Father, looking down on you and me now, and I better say it right, or I better not be here at all. How terrible to speak of these things and not be right. As some of the prophets spoken of in the Scripture, they cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people loved heaven so. But God said of them, they will not profit the people at all by their lies and by their lightness, and it won't work today either. We need the depth. We need to break up the fallow ground. And as God said, don't sow among thorns. Recognize the thorns and get rid of them, or they'll burn you in hell. The very things you love wrongly. Love the One who is the first and the last, who died and is alive again.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the people